Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me Dr. Quentin Henning. Dr. Henning has been with us a number of times. Normally, we speak to him about Novo Resources, which company is exploring and developing a most unusual style of gold mineralization in Western Australia. We will talk to Dr. Henning. We're expecting to, at least in the not-too-distant future, for an update on Novo. But today, I have him here on this show to discuss another company that one of my favorites, my second largest personal holding, I might say, one of my favorites in my newsletter. It's another company that he's intimately involved with in providing a vision of potential wealth creation through gold exploration in Japan. The company that I want to introduce is named Irving Resources and trades on the Canadian Exchange. IRV is a symbol, trades in the U.S. where I purchased it, IRVRF, 48.8 million shares outstanding, $1.84 earlier today when I looked at it anyway, giving it a market cap of right around $90 million U.S. dollars. Now, Irving Resources is involved, as I say, in gold exploration in Japan. Akiko Levinson, who is of Japanese descent and an experienced mining executive, is the president and CEO of the company. Now, I've known Akiko for more than a decade. She is not only a very classy lady, but a mining executive with decades of experience in the industry, but she conducts her business with the highest of ethical standards. And her connections to the Japanese society and to culture is of utmost importance in opening doors for Irving Resources in a country that is not as open as many others when it comes to foreign investors. Akiko has worked very closely with Dr. Henning over a number of years as a director of Irving and the leading geologist for the company's exploration efforts. Dr. Henning is here to talk about Irving's current exploration work and what shareholders should look forward to. Well, thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning.
Absolutely, Jay. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. Normally, we want to ask you about Novo, and I'm really, of course, very anxious about that. I know a lot of our listeners are, too. But today, we want to ask you about Irving Resources, and we don't generally talk about companies or think about Japan as a country where we're going to invest in gold, but it has had a history of gold production. Can you briefly talk about that and perhaps a little bit and introduce to us Irving's flagship property? I think it's called the Omu Project. Compare geologically that with and potentially from a production perspective, does Omu have some potential along the lines of some of the other producers in Japan that have been producing gold for a number of years?
Oh, very good question. So I'll kind of give a Japan Gold 101 lecture.
Okay.
So, gold was discovered in Japan, and there's at least some documented mining of gold clear back around the 8th century, as I understand it. But more importantly, gold took kind of front and center when the Edo period started in the early 1600s. So for about the last 400 years, gold production has been an important part of the Japanese economy. Most people don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of multi-million ounce gold deposits around Japan. Almost all of these deposits are what we call epithermal vein deposits. They were formed in hot spring environments. During formation, you can produce very high grades in places, especially associated with what we call the boiling horizon within the system. Examples would be the Sado deposit. Sado Island is immediately west of Honshu, produced on the order of 2.5 million ounces. There's the Konami deposit up in Hokkaido near our Omu project. It produced around 2.5 million ounces. There's several examples down in Kyushu, which is the southernmost island in Japan. There's the world famous Hishikari deposit, right? So Hishikari, probably it was late to come in terms of exploration. It was found in the early 1980s, but it has been the flagship gold producer in Japan. And most people don't realize this, but it's the highest grade operating mine in the world. Has been from, two or three decades now, right? So it's produced around 8 million ounces at present. The average head grade started out around 80 grams per ton. Now it's hovering around 30 or 40 grams per ton. It is an amazing deposit. It consists of numerous epithermal veins. Like I said, these are veins of quartz. They're usually banded. They have little thin layers called ginguro, which is comprises silver-rich minerals as well as particles of gold. And interestingly, Almost all of the production in Japan, almost all of these veins have been used as smelter flux. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, they mine the material, the silica-rich vein material. They put it into smelters when they're smelting base metals like copper, mm-hmm. lead, or zinc, or you know, these kind of metals. And the gold and the silver actually come out as a byproduct. But it means very cheap, very simple processing that's, you know, really it's highly effective. It's the Japanese are the most resourceful people I'm finding on the planet. They just do things much differently, but much more effectively than elsewhere in the world.
All right. So, and your Omu project, does it have some geological characteristics with those kind of epithermal vein types that you're talking about, the quartz banded?
Yes. Sorry, I forgot that part of the question. But yes, Omu is an epithermal vein system. The property is around 200 square kilometers. At present, we have at least three main focus areas. These are very large targets on the property. One is called Omu Center. One is called the Omui Mine. And then one is called Hokuriya Mine. These have at least some historic production, albeit on a minor scale. Most were shut down because of the war. During the Second World War, they shut down gold production at a certain point to conserve resources and, more importantly, people. But these veins have a lot of potential. We've got places where we see veins literally sticking out of the ground at a very high grade, very characteristic of other nearby mines, such as Konami, where 2.5 million ounces was discovered.
Mm-hmm. What are could you discuss your exploration program that's currently underway, and what might we expect to get from that? What are the objectives of this program, first of all, and what might investors be looking out for?
Yes, it's a very detailed question, so yeah. let me kind of pick it apart. Like I said, we have three main target areas on the Omu property. Uh-huh. Center, Omui Mine, and then Hokuriya Mine, and these are all in their own right a large project. Okay, so we basically have three large projects in one property.
Wow.
We've been drilling it at Omu Center. We drilled 8 holes earlier this year. Those holes are in the assay lab. We expect those assays to come back here shortly. The labs are very, very tight for capacity at this point. We've been shipping the samples down to Australia. Unfortunately, in Australia right now, it's the height of the season down there. So, our samples, along with millions of others, are in a very long queue at the laboratories. But we'll have assays for those. We did see initial high-grade results out of some of the early holes of that program. But I expect we'll see some more high-grade results in samples that are going to come back here shortly. In the meantime, we are now starting drilling at Omui Mine. So this is a new drill campaign, mm-hmm. Develop targets, and we're going to implement around 3,000 meters at Omui by the end of this year. We're also doing things like bulk sampling. At Omui Mine, we're actually collecting material as we excavate some trenches. We're collecting vein material and stockpiling that, and we plan to ship that to the Kushikino smelter in Japan sometime later this year or perhaps early next year.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand your vision here is that you are expecting not to construct your own milling facility here, assuming this goes forward into a producing mine, one or two or three mines potentially, but that you are really looking to is the same sort of a flux.
Yes, this is the model, the business model. Mm-hmm. We anticipate, think of it like finding gold and silver rich silica flux for a smelter. Okay, that's our goal here. We are trying to identify vein types with low deleterious elements but high mm-hmm. gold and silver concentrations that are ideally suited to ship to a smelter. We don't want to build a mill on site. We don't see a need to. The smelters are quite hungry across Japan. There's probably on the order of 20 of them, 20 mm-hmm. base metal smelters that demand, on the order of tens of thousands of tons of flux each per year.
Ah, oh, good. So that means potentially lower CapEx, I guess, than if you had to go about, get permitting and getting a mill built and all that.
That's the idea, yes.
Yeah. All right. So can you work through the... I don't know what the weather conditions. I guess you have a severe winter there. Quinton,
yes.
Is fairly north. So do you work through, will you be working December, January, February, that time frame or not this year?
We will. So we brought over a Canadian crew. This is a drill company based in Winnipeg. They drilled for us at, you know, at Spring Pole near Red Lake. So mm-hmm. their experience with winter drilling, Hokkaido is a very cold climate, gets lots of snow in the winter. It's not nearly as cold as Red Lake, but it is cold. And these guys are used to drilling, you know, in these conditions. So, yes, we plan on drilling over the winter months. We'll move from Omi Mine down to Omu Center and resume drilling there in the early part of next year.
Your company, really, the number of shares, as I mentioned, only about 50 million shares. 25% of those are owned by management, pretty tightly held. What can you? Are there any strategic investors in the picture? And I notice also that you just recently have had some discussions with Sumitomo, who you have had a good relationship with, you and Akiko. And of course, Sumitomo is with you, doing some work with you with Novo over in Australia. But could you comment a little bit on who owns your company and its share structure? Because that's always important, obviously.
Absolutely.
And how well funded are you to go forward?
Certainly. So the share structure is quite tight, as you know. It's less than 50 million shares out. Akiko and I both own a substantial amount. Eric Sprott's a big investor, but Newmont joined us as an investor about 3 or 4 months ago.
Wow.
To put in a placement. They have a right to put more money in, you know, at various stages, you know, depending on what they see. But we've also brought Sumitomo to the table. Sumitomo has become a very good supporter of Novo, as you said, but they're also mm-hmm. quite interested in what we're doing in Japan. They've also got a very long working relationship with Newmont. So, you know, this is effectively a great partnership because if Newmont, for example, wants to enter Japan in a big way, Sumitomo would be a great Japanese mining company host to work with. You know, so it's really come together, you know, like a perfect storm here. It's just a wonderful situation. We don't see the need for going back to the market anytime soon. We have on the order of $10 or $11 million in the bank. We have some warrants and options expiring here shortly, which will help top up the treasury. But we have a lot of runway to work with and very good shareholder support.
You obviously, you know, you're very busy with Novo Resources, and I know that a lot of companies, exploration companies around the world, are interested in getting your services whenever they can get their hands on a bit of your time. But you're not alone there. You have some other good people working with you there in Japan. Would you care to comment just briefly on who some of the other talented people are there that working for Irving Resources in Japan?
Yes. We've recently hired a gentleman named Takeshi Uemoto as our exploration manager. Takeshi has been working for Gold Fields in Australia. He is a fantastic combination for us because he, you know, obviously he's Japanese national, but he knows the Western style exploration. So that's a great benefit to us. Mendeco, which is part of Mitsui, does all our contract work, and Harada mm-hmm. Is our lead there. He's oversees the project for Mendeco. He's been working with us for several years. We have basically a first-class Japanese team to tackle this, and I'm very grateful for all their help because, you know, working in Japan as a Westerner, especially with language barrier, can mm-hmm. be challenging.
I would think so, to say the least. All right. Well, just then, in summing up here, what should we be, those of us who own this stock, and I think a lot of other people ought to start taking a look at it, frankly, but I don't care if they don't, because I think you're going to really provide some real value here, I believe. I'm very optimistic. But what should we be looking forward to, Quentin? I mean, you'll have some bulk sample assays, some assay drill assays coming out soon. And will there be a continual flow? You mentioned you can work through the winter up there. So might we expect a constant flow once the labs get caught up?
Yes, all of the above, basically. Yes, the labs are the biggest, you know, the stickiest wicket at this time. But we will have constant drill program and drill results coming over the next year or two. We, you know, high grade veins are our target. We should have samples from surface as well as drilling. We should be able to demonstrate that this is a very high quality asset in a jurisdiction that will make a fantastic mine.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about Irving. And, of course, we'll look to talk to you about Novo, I think, in the next several weeks or so. You're scheduled, so I hope we can get you back with us. Thanks so much for sharing your time with us, Quentin, and your knowledge and expertise.
Anytime.